Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Ladies and gentlemen, can I please have your attention? I've just been handed an urgent and horrifying news story. And I need all of you to stop what you're doing and listen.
Hey, Red Sox, y'all done messed up now.
There it goes to left. Altuve has tied it.
And you knew sooner or later he was going to get his.
Let us tie this sucker up. 2-2 series.
That's a line drive into right center field. Is going to get down and go to the wall and clear the bases as Brantley knocks it into the gap.
Our Astros took your best shot. We got back up. Guess what we're going to do now? We're going to whoop that ass.
I still hear dog.
Live from Kirby Ice House, just off Richmond, in preparation for tonight's Game 5 of the ALCS, Sports Radio 610 presents Clint Sterner and the Show.
That's right. That is Tyler Milner on that beautiful open. And Clint, boy, they in trouble tonight, man. If Mama out here, she didn't already. Mama then came in and for a little quick shot right there to get on.
Come over there and whoop that ass.
Whoop that ass coming up. Get on out here. We are at Kirby Ice House. 2 o'clock. It's open and doze is open. I already see somebody in here. He's got a nice ice cold beer right there with that old school Astros. Oh, go ahead, man. Cheers. I got one too, baby. Cheers to you, baby. We're gonna have a good time. The game starts in just over 2 hours, Clint.
That's right.
Just over 2 hours. A pivotal game 5 tonight. But we got to look at last night, Clint. And I don't know how they did it. I don't know how they pulled that game off, but that comeback, that eighth inning and on, was huge, huge for the Astros.
Well, so, look, we talked about it all day yesterday, man. We talked about just get us beyond three innings,
yep,
where you're in striking distance, and this is a different type of game than the previous two games. And I know it wasn't the way that they had drawn it up. You expect Greinke to go longer than he did, but I tell you, the fact that Rayleigh, I believe, was able to come in pretty,
yep,
quick and get a couple outs. And then Christian Javier, he comes in, is an absolute monster. And that's what I'm talking about, right? I mean, get them to the point of beyond three where this game's in reach. It was 2-1. And then all of a sudden, every pitch that the Red Sox make matters. All of a sudden, that lineup that you and I talk about, if there's no – boy, you just can't take a breath, man. There's no break. All of a sudden, that matters because it's a one-run game, and one swing of the bat could tie this thing up, literally.
And they know it.
And they know it, right? But when they're up eight, it doesn't matter. They can have a different approach. When the Astros got outside of three, when they got into the fourth inning, and it was a 2-1 ball game, I was absolutely stoked. Okay, now it's different. Now the Astros, they have a puncher's chance because they had some guys that were fresh out of the bullpen. Obviously, Christian Javier was lighting it up, and it was just a matter of time before those bats went to work. They took them a little longer than I would have appreciated. I wish they'd have lit it up a little earlier.
You was getting nervous a little bit, like,
no,
oh,
question.
Man, they just ain't got it because that line wasn't moving with those top three hitters.
That's it. Those top three hitters. At one point, they were after the Bregman home run, they were
6-4.
They were one for nine in that game. So what does that do? The math that makes them 6-45, I believe. And I'm thinking, oh man, boy, the middle of this lineup is going to have to do work. The bottom of the lineup is going to have to do work. And I'll be damned if it didn't come back around. Altuve bomb, Brantley double. I mean, they just started lighting them up. And here's the deal, show is. I firmly believe this, man. All the talk that we've heard, and maybe I'm more vested because I'm an Astros fan, but all the talk we've heard for 2 days, and rightfully so, Boston was lighting. I mean, they were lighting it up. It was impressive. Now they were doing to the Astros what the Astros typically do to people.
Well, they almost made you forget about the Astros' offense being the best offense in the game because of how the games were going.
Correct. And so we sat there, and all that, you know, they blew all their wad, all that emotion, all that energy, all the grand slams and all the home runs, not just grand slams, and everybody's out there talking about records, and I watch the post-game show, and I can't even hear the damn post-game show because the Boston Red Sox fans are screaming and cussing, and I'll be damned if the Astros didn't go out there and get a game late, and you know, win the game late in game four, and I look up, and yeah, it's been a hyped-up series, but this thing is 2-2, baby, and the Astros appear to be getting hot again. Their entire starting rotation is rested, which I don't know how we could spin that into a positive, but right now it is a positive. They're rested.
And more rested than Boston because
right.
Alex Cora decided to use Nathan Eovaldi for some odd reason last night in the game, for no reason in the game, like they were trailing in the series. So, yeah, I mean, somehow we've arrived here.
Come on, man.
And the Astros feel like they're in a pretty decent spot right now. Like you can say it's a three-game series now. Two of them are at their place, and you feel – better about their starters.
There, right? You're talking about the Astros.
Yeah, the Astros starters, then maybe the Red Sox right now, because they used Eovaldi yesterday. Now, hold on, when I say better, I mean, you know, slightly.
Well, I mean, I it's hard to feel good about Fromber, Luis Garcia, and Jose Urquidy based off of what we saw their last outing. There's no question about it. But the fact of the matter is that they're a wild card because we've never seen those young pitchers go 162 games and then make a deep run in the playoffs. Obviously, that's very taxing. We were worried about it with the young guys, and we were worried about it with Greinke. And here we sit come playoff time, and we're having the conversation of, are these guys worn out? But on both ends, are these guys worn out? But I tell you what, are they being worn out from a long season and having to make appearance after appearance after appearance in the playoffs is tough. But let's be honest. I mean, these three guys we're talking about, they had very limited appearances up to this point. If they were fatigued, and I know we're talking about a year long, but if they were fatigued, their last outing, hell, they should be rested right now. And I'll be damned if the Astros didn't find a diamond in, not a diamond in the rough, but you know, get some unexpected help last night from Christian Javier to where I don't know that he's not talked about in the starting rotation moving forward at some point, right?
Yeah, listen, you know I've been high on Christian Javier. We talked about it. You remember when he got pulled out of the rotation? They pulled him out of the rotation so they could add some help in the bullpen because they had so many issues. We were looking at it at the time. It felt like him and Greinke were the two best pitchers in the rotation. He was pitching pretty well in the rotation, and it's a good thing they've got him down there and had him available. Like, I think yesterday you said it. I think you said it best. You said, listen, we can see what the game plan is. It's going to be Greinke, and at some point him trying to hand the thing off to Javier. That's what the game plan is going to be. Now, will it work? We don't know. It did, and it did because Christian Javier, who I believe, if you're giving out game balls or something, to me, with all the big hits from Altuve to tie it and the big hit from Castro to give him the lead and then Brantley breaking it open and everything, Correa leading off with the double. To me, Christian Javier kept this game together. He went through that lineup multiple times. I don't know the last time Christian's thrown 60-something pitches. You could see it. He was spent when his last pitch that he almost threw over the catcher's head. And Dusty said, all right, now, Brent, I don't even need you to help me out with that. I know it's time to go get him. But he gave you everything he had and held them down until your offense could get it together.
So there's no question about it that he's the only pitcher that I've seen in this series – starting pitcher, middle. I'm not talking about your last two guys, because those, I mean, Presley and Graveman obviously have no problem just letting them hang and go after folks. Yeah. And it's neither does Stanek. Now, it's not always pretty, but they have no problem just letting them hang. Those guys are they're wired different. But there's no doubt about it that the only pitcher that's pitched in, let's say, the first six innings of these games that lets them hang and literally is attacking Boston's hitters has been Christian Javier.
Yep.
I mean, there was no scare. There was no fear. He wasn't running from the strike zone. He wasn't getting ahead of them and then pity-patting around the outside or in the dirt. He was straight going for them and trying to send them back to the dugout, and it worked out in a big way. So, Christian Javier, not only was it big last night, show, but as you mentioned, it's the best of three series. You got home field advantage. And I think you found something in Christian Javier from the standpoint of, you know, at least now you can get 3-4 out of him and he's been unbelievably effective against this lineup and this Boston lineup, and should have a ton of confidence the next time he touches the rubber. And that, I got to think that's in Game 7 if it goes that far, right?
Him or Odorizzi.
Get the hell out of here. That's what I seen last night, Chief.
I'm just saying him or, like, to piggyback, him or Odorizzi. I hear what you're saying, but I'm just telling you, Dusty, that is still in the cards for him, is Jake Odorizzi. That is still potentially to piggyback. I think that is still in the cards.
It's got to be all hands on deck.
Yeah,
but I think Christian, what he gave you last night, here's what you can't do is you can't lose this. You can't end up losing this series and Christian Javier never seeing action again.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean,
that feels good. If you're going to your bullpen, you think you will, when you start about three more games, if it goes seven, three more games, you find a way that you feel like you're going to have to hit your bullpen at some point. He gets today off, I'm sure. He gets the rest day tomorrow as a travel day back here to Houston. And then you wonder, Game 6 or Game 7, if there is a 7, or if that's one that he can go into. I don't know if he'll start. We'll see. But he was fantastic last night. A lot of heroes last night. I think Christian Javier, to me, is at the top of it. But get on out here. 2 o'clock. It is open now. The doors are open. And, Clint, they got everything you need here, baby. 40-inch TVs all around the place. They got, what'd you say, one of them drive-in big screens out there.
23-foot by 4-foot, 14-foot screen out back. It's drive-in. Hell, if you can't see that, you might as well give it up, man.
But
they got 40 75-inch TVs inside with them. There's just not a bad seat in the house. The service, the wait staff here is absolutely amazing. And parking, I mean, hell, there's 300 parking spots out there. It's convenient to get here, easy to get in, not a bad seat in the house. And if you can't find a drink that you like here, then, hell, I just don't know. I don't know how you're living. So
it's a you problem.
Come on up and hang with us.
Yeah, it's a you problem.
Yes,
man.
Good
say
point.
Say what's up to us as we continue here. Clint Sterner, Ron the Show, Hughley here at Kirby Ice House. Coming up, the star of the postseason for the Astros. You're going to hear from her next, and you don't want to miss that. And Roger Clemens spoke a word yesterday that we actually saw used in the game yesterday that needs to continue. We'll let you hear that coming up next.
Live from Kirby Ice House, just off Richmond, in preparation for tonight's Game 5 of the ALCS, Sports Radio 610 presents Clint Sterner and the Show.
That's right, man. We got you here covered, getting you ready here for Game 5, pivotal Game 5 tonight. When series are tied, like this 2-2 Game 5 and best of 7 in MLB history, the team that wins Game 5 goes on to win 70% of the series. So this is a big one tonight as the Astros are in Fenway, guaranteed to come back home and play a Game 6 at least here in Houston at Minute Maid. But they look to get this one today. Get on out here. We got everything you need. It's going to be a live, high, energetic place to watch today's game. So come on out to Kirby Ice House, right off Richmond.
Show 235, Jeff Passan.
That's right. Yeah,
235, Jeff Passan.
One of the best in the business. We'll get his thoughts on things that are going on in the series coming up. So he's coming up in the next segment. And maybe we'll see what he knows about what's going on down the line, even after the season with the Astros. So make sure you stay tuned for that. But we got to get to the star of the postseason for the Astros is your mama, Linda Sterner. Here she is. She's got a message. She must have got in late or something. She's got a message after the Astros came up with that huge win and got it going late. Here's Linda Sterner.
Hey, Red Sox, y'all done messed up now. Let us tie this sucker up. 2-2 series. Yeah, our bats got hot. Whew, they sure did. You know what? Our Astros took your best shot. We got back up. Guess what we're going to do now? We're going to whoop that ass. One more game in Boston, then you got to come back to Houston. Guess what's going to happen when you get back to Houston in the juice box? We're going to whoop that ass. Go, Astros.
It's just two things there. The way she says, back to Houston. We get you back to Houston. It's my favorite part.
Woo!
And then it's like it hit her. Woo! Them bats did get going.
She said, they sure did.
They sure did. They sure did. Like she just thought of She just thought of the Castro hit right into her head or the Altuve home run. They sure did. Did y'all see it? Get you back to Houston.
We're building a monster here, man. Yes, It's so funny. It's so
across
good.
The country. People are hearing.
Show. I can't even tell her, like, Mom, that was funny. That was good. She's like, oh, I know. I'm like, what? What
she's
happened?
A pro now.
I mean, 2 weeks ago, it was like, I don't. What am I doing, baby? How do I do? What do I do?
She's not even coachable at this time.
Oh no.
She knows. She knows what she needs to do, and she knows how to hit it.
Ain't no doubt, baby. We got to deal with the ego at this point in time. So she is on fire, man. She had one of her videos got about 90,000 views, and she is on fire right now.
She's a star, and she knows it.
Yes,
how about that? Linda Sterner, the star of this Astros postseason run that we hope continues. She is rolling them out. As Show's Army text line always loves when Linda Sterner has something to say. All right, real quick news here with the Astros. Lineup is out, and Dusty at it again in center field is musical chairs of center field. Chaz McCormick, who played well, got another hit. He's 4-for-10 in the series. He sits down again, and Jose Siri is back in center field. Hopefully he's just playing center and not first or third base coach, but Jose Siri is back in at center field tonight. The musical chairs go there. And Clint, I know something you were wondering about. Maldonado, he is catching again tonight after Jason Castro had that huge night last night. But those are the two things that I think people are wondering about. One, you just come in every day and expect a brand new center fielder. I think you should just accept that. That's what Dusty's going to do, just a brand-new center fielder. And what they're going to do at catcher, he goes with Maldonado.
Yeah, look, here's the thing. I would like Castro to be the starting catcher. I mean, I think when you look at this lineup, I mean, it even goes to a whole nother level when Castro, who his bat appears to be pretty hot at the moment. I understand you lose a little bit of defense from a pitch-to-pitch standpoint. You lose the arm down to second. You lose the security of knowing that they're more than likely not even going to attempt to steal if Maldonado's back there. But I just look at the two. To me, Castro's bat at this point in time outweighs Maldonado's defense. Now, with that said, I'm not disappointed that Dusty said, hey, we're going to go with Maldonado because, hey, it ain't fixed. It ain't broke. Ain't no reason to fix it. Let's just keep rolling with Maldonado. And if he is that big of a deal from a standpoint of calling the game and on defense, I'll trust the management here that's the right way to go. And, look, they've had a lot of success with Castro coming off the bench. I just know yesterday when there was a runner on second and third, it was a 2-1 ball game, and this lineup was struggling. I just felt helpless when Maldonado was up at the plate.
Well, and that's the difference, right? Like, I don't know if you're in a space anymore where the lineup feels helpless. Like, there was a point there you're like, God, dog, man, they need a spark.
Yeah.
They need something because the guy's up at the top. Like, nothing's going right, man. Alvarez works a walk, and you're like, all right, here we go. And then Correa tattoos a ball right to somebody, and then nothing occurs. Like, they get right out of these innings quickly, even when they get someone on. Now, at the end of that game, Altuve's last two at-bats, the homer, he works a walk. Brantley with the big double. Alvarez is on base three times. I think you feel a little bit better about that lineup now.
Well, you're going to hold your breath when Maldonado's at the plate, with runners in scoring position in particular. And you're going to hold your breath if Castro was behind the plate with somebody with some wheels on first. Mm-hmm. Right? I think the calling of the game and all that kind of stuff, that could be overcome for a couple of games if need be. But the defensive strength that Maldonado is, if it's not there, you're going to hold your breath in those certain situations. Either way it goes, you're going to hold your breath when these two guys are on the field or not. The other part of last night, real quick, that's different here, Siri starting in center field and batting eight. I'm a big Diaz fan. I didn't like Dusty's decision to pinch hit Diaz for McCormick. McCormick had just got a hit to opposite field, which, you know, I love a guy that gets up there and takes his hacks, and then when he gets behind in the count, he chokes down a little bit and goes with the pitch. I thought he was seeing it well. I thought he's played well enough and swung the bat well enough that in that moment he deserved that opportunity. I didn't like the thought of bringing Diaz cold turkey off the bench and putting him in for Castro right there. At the plate. I didn't like that at all.
That's interesting. I heard Lopez saying that this morning earlier when I was driving in, listening to In the Loop, and I didn't have a problem with it. I think he is your weapon and has been your best guy off the bench. Hell, he has at times hit like a starter.
Sure.
This year. And to me, there was no other place where you would use him, in my opinion. If you weren't going to pitch any hit for him right there for McCormick, you can't pitch hit for him for catcher because Castro is already in the game. You don't have another catcher. Like, that you're not pitch hitting him for anybody else. Like, to me, that the game on the line in the ninth, running on. But your confidence is coming from you feel good about McCormick.
So I think it is very difficult to come off the bench cold turkey and step in the box and be expected. And look, these guys are great hitters, so they obviously do it. I mean, I think that is very, very difficult. And when you've got a hitter that's been playing the entire game, he's seen at bats, he's seen the ball out of the pitcher's hand well. He knows what the umpires call. Not that Diaz can't be in tune to all of this as well if he's a real professional from the bench, but there's just something about a guy he's been watching 95 plus. He's been watching the movement. He's been at the plate with the ump making calls or not making calls. There's a value there to me that, man, if you're going to pinch it, like pinch hitting from Aldi, okay. I mean, I don't give a damn if the dude comes out of the parking lot. Like, it doesn't matter if he's in a hot tub in the clubhouse. Bring his ass out here and let him swing the bat. But for a guy that clearly seeing the ball well, just got a hit when the hits were few and far between, I just didn't like – I didn't like that gut feel at that moment.
Yeah, and I could see other spots because – I could see where you're coming from because, one, you know that means you're bringing Siri in the game to play play in it. And I know there are some people who have some lack of confidence – in that, but God, it was just like, man, Diaz is there. When is the other time you're going to use him if you weren't going to use him right there? I could go either way. I know at the time when I saw it developing and when he came up, I'm like, this is – if you're going to use Diaz, this is when you use him because you can't use him at catcher because you've already used
– I guess I just feel because at that moment is when after Correa doubled, right, and we ended up – we're in a spot where we need to move the runner.
And Tucker didn't move. Well, at that
Tucker
point,
struck out.
Well, at that point, you needed a hit, really, because it was.
Well, you needed to move him to third, and anyway, yeah, you needed a hit. Obviously, you needed a hit anytime.
It was one out,
but you needed to at least make contact to move the runner. I got pretty good confidence that McCormick is going to be able to do that. I got confidence in Diaz as well. I just didn't like that call at that point in time. I would have liked to see White Boy get up there and do his thing.
It wasn't egregious, but you were like, "Ooh, I don't know about that."
Yeah, I agree. Yeah, that's it. I just didn't like it. I mean, there's definitely – I could see where some folks were okay with it. But for me personally, man, give me that dude that's been in the game, that dude that's seen it, that's been looking at it, he's in it, you know, been in it for nine innings now. Give him the opportunity versus bringing a guy like Diaz off the bench.
Jeff Passan, the best news breaker for Major League Baseball. Jeff Passan of ESPN joins us coming up next. We'll see if he can believe how the Astros are doing this with everything going against them. And also, we'll get from him what he's hearing about the Astros and Carlos Correa down the line. Jeff Passan coming up next.
Live from Kirby Icehouse, just off Richmond, in preparation for tonight's Game 5 of the ALCS. Sports Radio 610 presents Clint Sterner and the Show.
That's right. We are live out here. Get on out here to Kirby Ice House right off Richmond. We'll be here as the game gets going here. 4:08 first pitch. So you got some time to get out here. They've got everything you need.
No, you don't. You ain't got no time. Get your ass on down here right now. Stop what you're doing and get on down here.
Just stop what you're doing safely and get on down here. To hang out, watch the game. We've had games here during the day, and it is a fantastic atmosphere. So make your way on out here. Joining the show right now, man, it's a big one out here. So we gotta get big time out here. Jeff Passan of ESPN. Now, a running gag on the show that I don't believe is true is that I make guests mad. Well, I don't give a damn if I make Jeff Passan mad. me and Jeff have gotten into it on several occasions. So Jeff is just at home, so it's all good, Passan. Man, and let's jump into this. The Astros seem to be defying everything that I have ever known about what you need in postseason baseball. Starting pitching, they don't have. They've got 20 outs in a four-game series. Big hits from their best players. Altuve's got two hits in the series, albeit two very big hits. They've had errors that have cost them. But it seems like now they're tied and in the driver's seat in a three-game series with two games at home. How is this happening?
I was talking with one of the players on the Astros yesterday, and he said, you know, you look at what the Red Sox have done, and they have played a damn near perfect series right now. They're not making errors in the field. They're hitting timely home runs. Their pitching's been enough, and they're only up 2-1. And if we can take this game, and this was said before game four yesterday, if we can take this, we feel like we have just as good of a shot. And you know what? What they did yesterday was – they limited those things that the Boston Red Sox were doing. Red Sox went 0 for 8 with runners in scoring position, and they just couldn't get that add-on run that they needed. And, you know, eighth inning comes around, and Altuve hits the home run. Ninth inning comes around, and, well, we saw what happened there. And, listen, we were waiting all series, right, for that explosion from this Astros offense. As prolific as the Red Sox offense can be, the Astros still have a better lineup than they do. And listen, that's saying a lot because Boston's lineup is deep. It is powerful. It is good. But when you're a pitcher trying to navigate this Astros lineup, I feel sorry for every one of them that has to do so.
Jeff, there's a lot of conversation right now about the umpire behind the plate last night for the Astros, man. How much did that umpire in particular impact the game last night?
Well, for those in the city of Houston who have read my story today, or at least saw the tweet and have reacted the way they did, they're acting like it had nothing to do with it. I must say, I find it very interesting and amusing the way that Astros fans, a particular subset, not all of them, but some Astros fans, want to try and hold me accountable for pointing out that Laz Diaz completely blew that call yesterday, along with 22 others behind home plate, by the way, and say that for pointing that out, all I'm doing is being an Astros hater. And then they argue that Luis Garcia's pitch to Yasmani Grandal that didn't get called strike three in the division series, I should have pointed that one out too. Like, pick a side. Either bad umpiring is a bad thing, or I don't know what the opposite of that is. Bad umpiring is a bad thing. And it doesn't matter if it happened to the Red Sox. It doesn't matter if it happened to the Astros. I couldn't care less who wins. Like, that's the truth of this. All I want is interesting stories and good baseball games. And there have been some good baseball games this postseason. And last night, that was an interesting story. Because, and by the way, the notion that something happening in the first inning is equivalent to something that happens in the ninth inning is so beyond ridiculous. Like, it takes away the idea of leverage. When you have a tie game in the ninth inning and a called strike three gets blown, it's a lot different than a 3-1 pitch in the first inning getting blown, which is what happened with Zach Greinke yesterday as well, led to Rafael Devers' walk, which went to Xander Bogaerts' home run after that. I'm sorry, but you have 24 outs after that to make a difference. In the ninth inning, you certainly don't have 24 outs left to have a game being played.
Jeff Passan, ESPN, with us. So here, just let it be known, Jeff, are you an Astros hater? Just clear the air right now. Are you an Astros? Everybody in this bar has turned around and looked and waiting for this answer. Are you an Astros hater, Jeff?
I'm gonna answer your question with a question of my own. And I don't know if you know the answer to this. Do you know what my World Series pick was this year?
I believe Astros Dodgers.
That would be correct. If I'm an Astros hater, I'm the worst hater in the world. Like, I hate them so much, I think they're going to make the World Series. No, of course I'm not an Astros hater. I think the Astros are a fantastic baseball team. I think they're a really well-run organization. I love watching Carlos Correa play. I love watching Jose Altuve play. I love watching Yuli Gurriel hit. I love watching Alex Bregman play. Michael Brantley's the smoothest hitter in the world. Yordan Alvarez might be better than all of them. Kyle Tucker, the way that he's grown has been phenomenal. Everything about the Astros, the baseball team that is on the field in 2021, is worth celebrating and enjoying. And I have both celebrated and enjoyed this team during this playoff run.
Jeff Passan just went from the most hated person in Houston to the biggest fan.
Let's do this. Let's do this. I'll ask you guys, am I an Astros hater?
Listen, Jeff, I don't think you are. I know many people here because you were – I think you were – I think many people here, and I'm going to get myself in trouble here, so but I don't give a damn. I think many Please. People here think you were too hard on the Astros about the cheating scandal.
Oh, boo-hoo.
But I think
I'm sorry. They cheated to win a world championship. I'm going to be soft on them. No, the difference between me and Astros fans is that Astros fans are invested in the good, the bad, and the ugly, and are going to back their team, which is exactly what they should do. That's what a good fan does. The problem is when fans start mistaking me reporting on what actually happened for me caring about what happened. The only thing I care about is that baseball is a healthy sport. I enjoy when baseball is healthy because I love the game and because it's my livelihood to report on it. But I'm not going to sit here and try and sugarcoat what happened, nor should you, nor does Alex Cora, nor does AJ Hinch, nor do the players who were involved in this. They all look at it with shame. They all look at it with regret. They all look at it with embarrassment. So if they can do that, it's perfectly okay for fans to back them and to acknowledge that they made mistakes, because they did. They've said as much themselves. It's also important that as human beings, we look at those mistakes and are willing to forgive them. And I don't sit here and say that, F. Altuve, like fans do in the stands. I don't sit here and say Carlos Correa is a cheater. No, I look at those guys as phenomenal baseball players. Altuve is going to be a Hall of Famer. Correa has the potential to be one. And I just enjoy what they're doing now and can't look back at 2017 as anything other than history, which it is, but a history that must be acknowledged. 1 year later, 2 years later, 5 years later, 10 years later, because sometimes history is ugly. And it's okay to acknowledge that ugly history as long as it's not necessarily the thing that solely defines a person or a team.
I feel like we're in an intervention right now and that Jeff needed to get that off his chest. I don't need to get anything off my chest.
I think people need to hear this because I all day long, oh, my God, Houston fans, like, you guys suck sometimes. You really do. I'm sorry. I want to love you. And it's interesting because when I was being as praiseworthy as I was of the Astros before the postseason, people were like, okay, Jeff's not that bad. Then I write one thing about a bad strike call and all of a sudden I hate the Astros. No, I hated the umpiring last night. And you know what? If it had gone against the Astros, I would have written the same damn thing, the same exact thing.
Hey Jeff, you got one more time to talk about my Astros fans down here. I'm gonna sick my mom on your ass in a hurry. Now you got one more shot, brother.
Hey, now here's Jeff. The thing. Let me say this. I have when I was in Houston last week, and I'm gonna be going to Houston. And if I end up in a body bag, I'm gonna blame it on you guys, and you're gonna have to take care of my kids. But when I was in Houston last week for the first two games of the series, Astros fans were really nice, and it's great, and some. You know, some people want to take pictures and want to talk baseball, and I love doing that. I understand Astros fans are very parochial, as they should be, and they're wounded because their team was being attacked, they felt like, by, everybody who was outside of Houston. So they started gathering around and, us against the world. And, hey, I get that. I have nothing against Houston fans. What I have something against is irrational people. And if you're going to sit here and accuse me of hating Houston, that's just wrong. Totally false. I hate St. Louis. Come on.
I hate St. Louis too.
I love your point. Here's the deal. But we can't deny that Jeff Pat. You got a special way of doing your job. You're good at what you do. Hell, or you wouldn't be around. You wouldn't be as paid as handsomely as you are. But you got a way of getting underneath some skin. Now you got to know that
ain't
no doubt. He knows exactly what he's up to. Hey Jeff. Hey, what about Carlos Correa? Man, we obviously got this big series, but the big elephant in the room with the Astros. That's as big as any game they're going to play right now. Is Carlos Correa's future here? With the Houston Astros, man. What's your thoughts on whether he will or will not be an Astro moving forward?
I think that depends on Jim Crane. I think if Jim Crane says, I'm going to back up a Brinks truck of money and we're going to give it to Carlos Correa because he's a shortstop, he's elite, he's going to stay at the position, he can hit, he's a leader, he's kind of everything you want in a Major League Baseball player right now, And the idea of keeping him around in a Houston Astros uniform for the entirety of his career is extremely exciting, then yeah, I think he could stay in Houston. But I also think because of all those characteristics, there are going to be other teams that want him. And there are going to be other teams that are willing to back up that truck of money too. So, in the end, guys, I think, and I'm not saying this to paint Carlos Correa as materialistic or anything, because I don't think that that's going to be the driving force. But I think the differentiating factor is going to be the number of years that a team is willing to give him. Because I think the average annual value that team's offered probably going to be around the same. You know, he's going to be very easily a $30+ million a year player. It's just a question of how many years a team's going to offer him. And the reality is, Carlos Correa, when he has been healthy, when he's been out there, has been a better player than Francisco Lindor. Francisco Lindor got 10 years and $341 million from the New York Mets. So, listen, I'm not saying Correa is going to get $340 million. What I'm saying is the market is there already, and if he's going to ask for that, it would not surprise me.
Jeff Passan, ESPN, who is preaching to Houston fans, who, judging by the
preaching
text
to
line,
them that I love them. I love all of you, especially you guys, at the bar right now. Like, seriously, day drinking, big fan. Way to go.
I just want to get this part clear, Jeff, because some fans that we get into it about go another way with this. It won't be because Jim Crane and the Astros can't afford it, right? This isn't a deal that they don't have the money like the Royals or the Brewers or something like that. This is something that they could afford if they wanted, right?
Yeah, I think it's a matter more of where do you want to spend your money? Because let's look at what the Astros are this postseason. I just went up and down this lineup, guys, that aside from Carlos Correa, everyone's coming back next year. So instead of having seven, top 25 hitters in the American League, would you take a lineup with six and go and spread the rest of that money out to add some pitching to Lance McCullers and to the staff that they've got right now? Because you said it, 20 outs over four games, it's a pretty grim situation. If the Astros need anything at this point, it is starting pitching. Now, I know they got Hunter Brown. He had a really good year this year. There's high expectations on him inside the organization, and they do a good job of figuring out guys who, whether it was Framber Valdez or Luis Garcia, aren't highly touted necessarily, but turn into solid major league pitchers. But to see them go out and get a couple of free agent pitchers this offseason, maybe a couple good free agent pitchers, if you take Carlos Correa's money, you can get yourself some awfully good starting pitching. So it's a tough decision that James Click, the general manager, is going to have to make. And, the Astros are in a very fortunate situation that they've got the bats, that they've developed the bats that they have. But listen, I would rather have Carlos Correa for the 6+ years that I did and have won a world championship with him and see him trying to lead this team back to the World Series than not. This is a very first world problem the Astros have. Do we spend our money on the potential Hall of Fame shortstop or on starting pitching?
Jeff, can you put your finger on one player that's similar to Carlos Correa? And it's from a standpoint of, this isn't just about his ability to be great on the field physically. The intangible, the leadership aspect of it is huge in the Astros clubhouse. There's no doubt about it. Is there a player out there, past, present, that you would put in that same category?
I don't think he's Derek Jeter quite yet, but I think he's got Derek Jeter-type qualities. I think people gravitate toward him. I think people listen to him. I think there's gravitas there. And clearly, like, the quality of the player and the talent, that's the case. And listen, Derek Jeter was one of a kind, but when I think of guys who have all of those things, it's a short list. And Carlos Correa, between the personality, the intellect, the physical skills and tools, and the desire to be a bigger part of the game, to take baseball and showcase it to a younger generation that may look at these four-hour games that are happening every day and say, why should I spend 4 hours of my time watching this? Well, you watch it for Carlos Correa hitting a tank, pointing down to his wrist, and saying, it's my time. That's why you watch it.
Didn't you love that, Jeff? Didn't you love
that? It was awesome. It was fantastic. And you know what? It was great when Eduardo Rodriguez did it too. And I know Alex Cora got mad at him for that, the Red Sox manager. Alex Cora didn't get mad because he doesn't believe that player should be out there doing that. Alex Cora got mad because he didn't want to wake up a sleeping giant.
Yep. Yep. All right, Jeff Passan, we've had a lot of fun with you. We could do this all day long. This text line you have lit on fire.
Can you read me a couple of them?
Well, if I know you, Jeff, you want the bad ones.
No, 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 no.
Suck it.
Hold. See, here's the thing. One thing you said a little bit earlier. I don't try to make people angry. That's not my style. That's not my vibe. That's not what I do. I'm a very peaceful person. I just write truth. And sometimes the truth sucks to hear. And sometimes it's hard to process. But no, I don't go out of my way to say things just because I know they're going to anger people. That's why I think that's fake and duplicitous and wrong. It's just that my opinion is going to be different than yours sometimes. And I respect yours and I appreciate yours as long as it's logical, as long as it's got backing. But if you say something stupid, I'm going to call it stupid.
Yeah, well, someone here said, suck it, Jeff. That's all they left.
That's okay.
Suck it. That's all right.
Listen, that person. That person's an idiot.
Well, don't talk to all of them. Give them a little Elmo on the way out, Jeff, to tell them, you know, that you still love the Astro fans. Come on.
Oh, I don't know. Listen, you don't need to tell me to do that. I love any fan base that is passionate and that backs its players and that backs its club and that doesn't look at journalists like we're the enemy, because we're not. I'm not rooting for anyone. I'm rooting for a good series. And right now, I'm standing on the field at Fenway Park, literally walking in circles, living my best life right now. I have the best job in the world. I'm the luckiest guy there is. I'm about to watch a baseball game between two really good teams. And I just hope it's a great game. And I hope everyone there has a fun time.
All right, Jeff, we had a lot of fun with you. You're fantastic as always, man. We got to do it again. That's Jeff Passan, ESPN, man. Enjoy the game tonight.
All right, boys, take care. Have fun, everyone.
Yes, sir. Passan.
Oh,
Tyler
great.
Is in here smoking hot.
That is great, though, man. I agree. Look, I respect Jeff Passan and a lot of the work that he does. But there's no doubt. Jeff knows he's stirring that pot. Come on, man. Jeff knows he's stirring that pot. Jeff knows what he's
Jeff
doing.
Me and Jeff are good buddies.
No, I know. I get it. I mean, it doesn't surprise me. Like, Show knows what the hell he's doing when he's stirring that damn pot half the time, too, now.
Just being honest. All right, Clint, the lineups are out, and one major decision that Dusty Maker has made, I know a lot of people have different thoughts on. We'll discuss that coming up next.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.